Welcome to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world. This is bonus episode 22, The Life of St. Kateri. Kateri Tekakwitha was born right in the middle of a tempestuous period sometime between 1662 to 1664. Her life encapsulates the Iroquoian Wars of Assimilation, as it was her mother who was captured at Trois Riveries. Brought as a slave to Iroquois, she married a league member and gave birth to two children. A set of paternal twins was born, and Kateri came into this world. Her world was quickly torn apart by the smallpox epidemics of mid-century, introduced unknowingly by the Dutch traders that the League had summoned. The disease carried away her parents and twin brother, so she was orphaned at the age of four and severely disfigured. She also had badly degraded vision from the disease, so the young girl took to covering herself. Given to the care of an uncle, who was a local sachem, marriage proposals did not come easy given her disfigured status. The year of 1666 saw the largest European army in North America to date invade south from New France and devastate Iroquois. My own ancestor, Jean Poirier, served in the Chambly Company of the Carignan Regiment and participated in the Tracy Expedition, chastising the Mohawks and fortifying the Richelieu River against Iroquois incursions. This first group of professional French royal soldiers helped establish a new balance of power in the region. Assured of their triumph by the peace negotiations, a year later the Jesuits visited the Mohawk capital at the modern-day village of Fort Plain. Dr. Parmenter states, the black-robed priests were given the normal welcoming in the shape of the Edge of the Woods ceremony, but with a mighty twist. Astonished at the rebuilt and refortified Mohawk castle containing almost 1,000 inhabitants, the Jesuits were greeted with a show of polite but unmistakable military pageantry. Mohawk warriors lined the way to give salutes, and swivel cannon were fired from major dwellings. The message to the French was clear. The League understood they were here to stay, but it would be the Iroquois who dictated from a position of strength. The League impressed its adversaries by the quick population rebound due to recent raiding and assimilation, but also through new reorientations toward the St. Lawrence River in an effort to accommodate the recently assimilated peoples. By 1667, Jesuit priests were lodged under the watch of Kateri's uncle, and this is where the young girl received her first contact with Catholicism. Peace negotiations that year between the Iroquois and French were strained by the League's interactions with the new English overlords. Jesuit priests thought they could entice the League away from their imperial English rivals, and the Iroquois saw French presence in their village as guaranteeing safe movement throughout the region by tribal members. Any member harmed by French interests could be avenged by the easily accessible missionaries throughout Iroquois. Kateri started to frequent the village chapel, and her lodge condoned this, as long as she didn't leave for the missionary settlements near Montreal. Catherine's mother had apparently practiced Christianity, and her sister, through adoption, had already left for St. Francis Xavier in Sault St. Louis. A 1669 attack by the Mohican had been repulsed, but many Mohawk warriors had led parties north by the start of the 1670s. Her sister eventually sent her own husband to fetch Catherine in 1677 and bring her north to the missionary village, where she could worship freely. Barely escaping her uncle, who was desperately attempting to stop the flow of villagers north, she made the arduous journey to her new home. Making her way up Lac du Saint-Sacrement and Lake Champlain, she moved up the Richelieu River. Finally, she found her destination sitting near a series of rapids and opposite the island of Montreal. Kahnawake was named after a former village in the Mohawk Valley of New York State, where many of the converts had come from. Engrossed in her new world, she took to a female community mentor who instructed her in her new faith. The rhythms of a native existence played out amongst incredible scenes of Catholic devotion. Winter hunts were conducted between Christmas and Easter, with women accompanying the men of the village. Kateri experienced untrue accusations that she had become involved with a married man, and she vowed never to return on one again. She now became devoted to bodily penance and began a life of earthly chastisement of her flesh. Gathering a small group of devoted women around her, she helped establish a future leading role for maternal Catholic education in Mohawk villages. Daily fasting and taxing carnal chastisement activities left her weak and vulnerable to a cold, caught in the early months of 1680. She died on April 17, 1680, after suffering from complications from a pneumonia-like condition. About a half an hour after her death, her smallpox-scarred face changed dramatically and became incredibly beautiful. This was quickly followed by an overwhelming odor that was described as floral in origin. Her death during the holiest period of the Christian calendar would soon spark word of miracles. She was said to have made appearances to both the missionary priests and her band of female companions as her burial site mementos started to produce stories of miracles widely circulating by the start of the 1700s. The praying peoples of the St. Lawrence would join the French for the first time against their non-Catholic brethren in a failed French expedition against the Seneca just 3 years after the death of Kateri. The Catholic Mohawk would again join the French in a successful attack on Schenectady, NY in 1689, where traditional Mohawks started to burn captured Catholic converts for the first time. Her story marks a very fundamental and permanent development that would see the Six Nations become seven and fight for the French more than 50 years later in the pivotal conflict that would decide control of the continent. On June 22, 1980, her beatification took place in Rome and was presided over by Pope John Paul II. Her story still splits the Haudenosaunee peoples as it did in the late 17th century. Thanks for listening to New York, Quebec, and the Water Route to the Center of the World. Don't forget to check out my new YouTube channel under the title NYQC 1754 Podcast.